Politics, sports, entertainment? Yeah, we've got that. It's WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here at the anchor desk. Mr. Rob Center, our producer on the other side of the glass, his help and hard work always very much appreciated. On the news line now, we're going to talk to Judy Silverstein Gray. She's an author of Unwavering, The Wives Who Fought to Ensure No Man Is Left Behind. That's her latest book, but she's published a half a dozen other books. She is a military veteran tied to the mayor, or Nada Gray, up in Lewisburg, and just very much appreciated. She's going to be the Grand Marshal coming up in the Union County Veterans 4th of July parade that's coming up on Saturday the 24th at 10 a.m. So please, Judy, thank you so much for calling in today.
Thank you, Mark, for having me.
First of all, your family ties around here. Tell us what ties you to our area, and then we'll really dig into why you were the perfect selection for our upcoming parade.
Well, you know, Lewisburg is such a wonderful area, as is Union County. My husband grew up there, and as you know, his mom is Nada Gray, who actually, the book is one of... She's one of the two people it's dedicated to. My co-author also dedicated it to her daughter. And both of these women are instructive in their independence, their perseverance, and their absolute commitment and dedication to their communities.
And that digs into the topic, of course, of the book Unwavering, The Wives Who Fought to Ensure No Man Is Left Behind. You're talking about a band of women who got together and fought to make sure that POWs and MIAs were not forgotten in Vietnam, but in a very personal way. Tell us all about it, please.
Oh, well, thank you. So, you know, these were gutsy women who, in the mid-1960s, were very obedient and followed the rules and mores of society. So, for example, women only had a few jobs available to them that could be secretaries, teachers, nurses, airline stewardesses. And generally, after they married and had children, those jobs weren't always available, with few exceptions. They had lots of rules they labored under, and so when their husbands started disappearing in Vietnam, especially the pilots after Operation Rolling Thunder began in 1965. They were at first very obedient, and the government had a rule called Keep Quiet, which they followed because back-channel diplomacy had worked during the Cold War years, and then it didn't. And then more men were missing, and there were very few answers. And they moved from the sidelines to the front lines of their own home front battle, as their husbands and fathers and brothers were laboring under their own rules in the battle overseas.
And then these women found that through pushing, they could get a little help in Vietnam and they could get a little help in Washington, D.C. Explain how that started a sea change that really is having tremendous impacts today.
That's true, Mark. Well, you know, at first they were obedient, and they were very patient in ways I can't imagine would work today because we have so much access to instantaneous news. But in those days, everybody thought, you know, how long could a skirmish in a small country like North Vietnam take? And so they waited and waited, some without any letters, some with few letters, and some of these men were held in captivity up to 8.5 years. So that was a long time for families to wait. And as the women found that their powers of attorney expired and they had no legal standing for credit, they couldn't buy a car, they couldn't find housing without credit, without a husband or a father signing for them, they realized, against the noise of what was going on in the country and around the world, that they had to speak up and speak out. And they found some allies in the government, but eventually they pushed long enough and hard enough, confronting the North Vietnamese at the Paris peace talks themselves, that they actually made diplomatic changes. And we think this is the first time that families were ever sort of forced to take on their government, and they did it successfully. So they changed two policies. They changed how we fight our wars. We take every effort and we undertake every resource we can to avoid having POWs or missing service members. And they also change the way we care for military families, which endures. And that was a very important tenet of what they did.
Well, now let's talk about the book itself. As you dig into it, just so dramatically detailed and fine points of the atmosphere of the rooms and the smell and the appearances and the behaviors and the chairs and the distance from knees to face if somebody's crouched in a chair. Explain this really remarkable detail that helps you understand a room's evolution as different scenes go through.
Well, what you're describing is when they went to the North Vietnamese delegation's offices, if you will, outside of Paris in Choisy-le-Roi, and they were sitting in these long, low-slung chairs, and it was, you know, difficult for women to sit in a modest way, and they also were not going to be deterred by the nervousness they felt confronting the North Vietnamese, who also showed them propaganda films. But what they didn't count on was that the women had been watching the news very carefully in the U.S., and they had seen this war unfold on TV. It was the first one covered in such detail. So in piecing together these details, we had to deal with 50-year-old memories. We had to dig through archives. My co-author had written two previous books on POWs and knew the families pretty well and had large Tupperware bins of research, and we had to dig and dig to find out what kind of a rotary phone they had, what color was it in 1965, what else was affecting them, what TV shows they were watching, because by painting that picture, we felt it would become more alive and more instructive for the reader so they can make connections to their own lives.
Well, you're there. You're in that Spartan room, and then later in the book, you're in Washington, D.C., and you really just get a glimpse at you can do everything except smell what's happening in the room, and it's just amazing, and it's a fantastic book, and I highly recommend it. Unwavering, The Wives Who Fought to Ensure No Man is Left Behind. You will be in our area. You're marshal of the Union County Veterans 4th of July parade that is coming up. What other stops do you have planned when you're in this portion of the country?
So, thank you, Mark. Along with my co-author, yes, we are the Grand Marshals this year, and we're really proud of that because it is a veterans parade, which honors those who served, and we're hoping this also honors the families that support the military because they're crucial to success when one is deployed and serving. So the next day, June 25th, we will be giving a book presentation in depth. It's a multimedia presentation, and that will be at Buffalo Valley Lutheran Village at 1:30 p.m. It's free of charge. We will put it up on Eventbrite this week just so we can get a head count. There will be light refreshments, and it should be a lot of fun for everybody to hear a little bit more in depth about what else was going on in the country and what else was going on in the lives of these women. So it'll be a lot of fun. We invite everyone to come out to that and bring family and friends. And then we have a few other events in the state. We are negotiating with Otto's Bookstore up in Williamsport and may be there on July 2nd or 3rd. I will be reading the Declaration of Independence for the annual reading at Peter Hurtick House on July 3rd. He'll also be signing books at Barnes & Noble at Bucknell University on Market Street on June 30th. And we have a few other events, and those will be posted on our website, unwaveringbook.com.
Well, I invite you to join me in person on WKOK June 30th, if you can. We have a Friday talk show that starts at 8:30. We would just love to have you guest in studio if you'd be so kind as to come and visit us. So please seriously consider that invitation. Finally, to this very day, whether you're talking about any conflict we have in the Middle East or Afghanistan or anywhere, No Man Left Behind, that these women fought to make sure that that wasn't just something that was a phrase, but was a real mindset and a mission of modern military. Explain how this is carrying on today, and they started it.
You know, so Americans generally think that this has always been so, but although it was a mantra, the Vietnam era POW and MIA wife fought to ensure that we really upheld this, and now we really cannot tolerate POWs and missing service members, excuse me. So we fly our aircraft higher than we did in Vietnam. We use drones, which might have been a natural evolution, but we take every precaution to ensure no one is left behind. And it's no accident that we left nobody behind in Afghanistan. And also civilians who are left behind. The, you know, American trait, the quintessential American trait, is that we cannot tolerate leaving our Americans behind. And, you know, the return of even a basketball player last year demonstrates this. Excuse me. But you can also tie it to the efforts that were spent rescuing people such as Jessica Lynch, who served and in the Iraqi war, and then also even Scott O'Grady and Bo Bergdahl. So this is something that the women thought was a very important tenet, and how we could not tolerate just not knowing what happened to our missing. And so no expense is spared. Excuse me, and the Defense POW and MIA accounting agency still combs the globe looking for missing members going back hundreds of years. And just recently, I think earlier this the end of last week, I read about a World War II soldier who was returned to a family, was found in Ukraine. So we combed the globe. They used, you know, more sophisticated testing than we had before, but they spare no expense because of the legacy these women left behind.
Well, a fantastic story. Certainly a quick read, but a valuable, deep, and rich one. And so we really appreciate your help and for bringing this to life and for calling in. We're looking forward to seeing you at the parade on Saturday, June 24th, and then at Buffalo Valley Lutheran Village on Sunday, the 25th at 1:30 p.m. Judy, thank you so much for all you've done, and thanks for all you are doing, and boy, keep up the great work, and thanks for gracing us with your words today.
Thank you, Mark.
That is Judy Silverstein Gray. She's an author living in Florida now, but she's the wife of Nada Gray's son and daughter-in-law of Nada Gray, the mayor of Lewisburg for many years. And Nada Gray, of course, alive and well, and hopefully will be at some of these activities as well. The book, Unwavering, The Wives Who Fought to Ensure No Man is Left Behind. She and her co-author are going to be marshal of the parade coming up on June 24th in Lewisburg.